All right, everybody, welcome to CADcast episode number 201, a magical clip show. Our first clip comes from when Wombat was here and he said,
"Really, that's your setup? You couldn't have set me up better than that?"
I don't know. I'm sorry.
This is why you don't do improv.
Right. Was a lot of reasons why. Okay, so this is not a clip show. Shipwreck is here, too.
I am. Vagina clown. That's what he said.
He said vagina clown. Right. Remember when Wombat said vagina clown?
That guy is a vagina clown.
Who is that supposed to be?
That was my Peter Griffin.
Oh, okay.
Because that was like a reference to a reference.
Right,
so
I
when
know.
You make a yeah.
I got it. That was good. That was better than my setup. You did pretty well, actually.
Thanks.
So the reason why we're not doing a clip show is a few reasons. I mean, we're doing one. And by we, I mean me. But it's just sort of bad timing right now because E3 is right around the corner. And there's a lot of big games that are out that we want to talk about. So I thought we would save the clip show for when there was nothing for us to talk about. So look for the clip show in several weeks. Because, you know.
Yeah, when we should be doing E3 coverage. That'd be a perfect time to do it.
No. After that. Several weeks. What is your definition of several weeks? More than two, less than seven. That is several. I think. I don't know. But anyway, so we have a big show today. First of all, at the end of the show, we're going to have our Alan West.
are you? What time? I know it's the morning for you, but did you have coffee?
No coffee.
I could tell.
I don't drink coffee, really.
You should
only
start.
Once in a while I have it. No, I
looks
I'm
like you picked
the wrong
week to stop drinking.
But I picked the right week to start sniffing glue. So.
Exactly.
So we're going to be we're having our Alan Wake spoiler fest at the end of the show because now we've all finished it, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to that because I haven't had a chance to really talk about that game in great detail, and I want to do that. I was very hesitant to really mention much of anything.
Oh, wait, I was supposed to play Alan Wake?
Stop. I checked
I finished
your
wakeboarding.
No, I checked your achievement points just to make sure. And you did,
you
did finish it. So, yeah, we're going to look. We'll talk about it a little bit during the show, just a bit, and then much more in-depth at the end of the show for people who have already completed the game or just want to hear us ruin everything. It's really up to you. Plus, I finished Red Dead Redemption, so I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but you guys have not even come close, right?
No, I was too busy playing Alan Wake.
Oh, dude.
I thought we already had this conversation.
I was too busy playing Alpha Protocol.
Okay. So Shipwreck's going to talk about Alpha Protocol, and I don't know, so we got a lot to talk about. I mean, is there anything that we need to mention? Should we just jump right into the show feedback from last week? I mean, what do you guys think?
The only thing I was going to mention is that I'm still going to E3.
Oh, yeah, you should mention this drama. Yeah, tell the story, Wombat.
So, as we all know, I'd say how long has it been? 6 months, maybe 8 months. I put in the time to go to E3.
At work, you put in the
time. At work, yes, because I have a job. Mm-hmm. And I think it was last Thursday, I get an email. Now, my department has a supervisor, and my supervisor has two bosses. And I got an email from one of those bosses saying that person needs to speak with me as soon as I get in. That's never good.
So, right.
So I'm thinking, well, time to get on the old unemployment line.
It was a good run.
Oh, yeah. It was
you got a lot of free gay porn while you were there. I mean, you really can't complain.
Exactly. But what really happened was my supervisor has found a new position elsewhere and is leaving the company. Her last day would be the day before E3.
The Friday before E3.
Exactly. Which means that I would be the sole person, really, in my department during the week I'm supposed to be away, which means that my job will have no coverage.
Hmm.
Which didn't bode well for one VP who spoke to the other VP who knew about my vacation and was like, but he's going on vacation. So there was a little bit of touch and go there where I was going to have to just cancel the whole trip. But we worked something out, and I will sort of be half working while I'm at E3.
Half working?
Half working.
Half, would you say, is a fair percentage?
We'll see. I mean, I may even have to go into they have an office, you know, not too far from the convention center.
So you'll just be hanging around Gay Gamer a lot. That will work, right?
Yeah, that'll just be fine. I mean, it's been really crazy. I mean, that I've been recommended for the position. It's not official yet, but whatever. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
All I know is I get a message from Wombat saying, I need to call you immediately. What's your, you know, what phone number should I call you on? And I'm thinking, all right, what did I do to really upset Wombat? I must have done something terrible. But no, it was this thing. And then the only thing I could think of really was how it affected me, which is like, you know, I'm trying to stop being an asshole like that. But I did get over it eventually.
You mean affecting you in the sense that you wouldn't have the opportunity to see your friend? Is that
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not being selfish. That's got to be kind of, you know.
Yeah.
That's almost sweet.
Almost. Well, yeah, but I was, yeah, I don't know.
He was really thinking, well, that, thank God I don't have to get Wombat into all these events now.
No. I was saying,
scheduling so much easier.
I was saying, thank God I just saved $2,500.
And but, Shipwreck won't say it, but I'm pretty sure he was going to cry.
Yeah.
I was sad for you.
Yeah, I was sad.
I was pissed off, actually.
I was pissed off for me, and then I, as a few days went by, I said, really, this is, you know, not about me. It's about Wombat and his big opportunity to go to E3, which he's been looking forward to for a long time, and think about how he feels. But luckily, it all worked out, so it seems.
Yeah, so it seems, so far. I mean,
I think it's
going to
be fine.
Yeah, me too. I put in a big proposal about all these department changes I want, and yeah, it's been like a whole thing. So, work is work.
Right. The head of anal lubrication.
That would be my position, yes. My position, get it?
I get it. Your head in an ass. I did by accident stumble upon the Sex and the City 2 Japan premiere red carpet event, and apparently they sent all the people here, all those witches they sent over.
Of course they did.
Yeah, I was pretty, I didn't, you know, Ty's daycare and my wife's office are in Roppongi Hills, which is like this pretty fancy office complex, and they have a lot of big events there, and I'm going to pick up Ty, and as I'm getting closer and closer, I just see all these women, and they're all dressed up, and they're all like really excited about something, and I see like there's a red carpet out, and I see a car pull up, and some white guy gets out, and that, you know, that never happens. And I don't know who it was because I'm not really familiar with Sex and the City. And then I see all the signs, and they just went. I mean, there must have been thousands of young women, and they got dressed up for it too. It's really
was
scary.
Was it Chris Noth? Was it?
I
was
wouldn't
it,
even
was
know.
Is it a tall guy with?
It wasn't
hair?
Mr. Big. It wasn't Mr.
No, okay.
Big.
That would be Chris Noth. See, yeah.
That's the guy from Seinfeld, right?
No, you're thinking, I think, Patrick Warburton. He was on Law and Order.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that who you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
So, him. Sex and the City, like, it resonates with Japanese women?
I guess. Who knew? I had no idea. I guess it does. I mean, they like New York. New York is, like, a pretty, like,
doesn't matter where you go in the
concept.
World, a chick's going to blow a dude for nice shoes.
Does your wife like Sex and the City, Wombat?
Do you like Sex and the City? She used to.
How about Sex in the Bathroom?
Do you like Sex in the Bathroom? Yeah, that was a qualified yes if you didn't hear it.
Sex in the Tookus?
Sex in the Tookus? No, I got a no on that one.
You got a no. Okay, well, we're learning. I don't even need to ask Shipwreck. I know Shipwreck's wife doesn't watch Sex in the City.
Are you kidding? She went to the opening night of the movie.
Oh, okay.
She loves that show.
Oh, okay. So she shows you what I know. Oh, I guess maybe if you're living in Ohio, you really might be into it.
We don't even know what cities are. It's really exotic.
Anyway, so let's move on to the show feedback from last week. Wombat, why don't you take it away?
Yeah, let's see. We'll start out with this. This comes from Brad Bishop. Cheapy nailed it. There has never been a successful peripheral. It's always been this way. I figure it's because if you're a game developer, you're already playing to a limited audience. A particular console, why would you want to split that out even further by doing development for a particular peripheral like, and it goes back to a bunch of things like IntelliVoice and a TurboGrafx CD and Sega 32X.
Yeah, we were talking, of course, we were talking about Shipbox and Move to a, what did we call Move? I forgot what our name for Move
Bowel
was.
Bowel Movement, I believe.
Bowel Movement. Movement, yeah, I forgot what.
It's not that good.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. We could do better. But it's just, and then some people in the comments, I know they brought up the Wii Fit, but I mean, do you really view Wii Fit as a peripheral? Because I think of it more of like an exercise, a fitness product.
I see it more as Guitar Hero.
It's more as like
the one product that it is, and that's
it. I was going to say, yeah, it's a single product game, a single game product. Right. So I think that somewhere it's a little different. It's not like a peripheral which is designed to be played with many games. I don't think Nintendo ever really thought Wii Fit board would really go with anything other than
they didn't care, I'm sure, yeah. because
but
they knew.
There are games that go with it. I mean, you have
there are.
A Super Monkey Ball game and a Raving Rabbids game and Wii Ski and stuff like that. But
I think Wombat's right, though. I think what Nintendo didn't say, hey, we're going to build this balance board and we'll have a fitness game with it and then maybe... And then everybody else will make games for it. I think they said to themselves, hey, let's make a fitness product that we can use with the Wii because people love throwing away money on fitness products. I mean, Japan is... You see the same ridiculous infomercials for exercise stuff in Japan that you see in America. In fact, some of them are exactly the same and they just dub over them.
Shake weight?
I haven't seen Shake Weight. I saw this one, and this is I think this is only in Japan. I mean, you can tell me if it's not. It's basically just the pedals of a bicycle on a stand, and you can put it, you know, like next to your couch or you know next to a chair. So it doesn't even have a seat or anything. It's just the pedals of a bicycle, and you think to yourself, okay, that's not that ridiculous. But the selling point of it is that it's completely motorized, so it pedals itself.
So I have not seen that, but I am intrigued.
So it pedals itself, and you're just basically resting your feet on it, and it somehow that is a good exercise for you. It's amazing. I mean, all this stuff that they sell. Because people buy it, and people bought Wii Fit.
I've really been working my core lately because Mrs. Shipwreck bought one of those big inflatable exercise balls. Oh. And so I've been sitting on that while I'm playing.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Did you do it on it yet?
I don't know if I have that skill.
You could really hurt somebody.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's kind of it's that kind of plastic rubber stuff too that would kind of like stick to you.
Mm. Mm. I could see somebody's neck being broken pretty easily.
Don't worry, yeah. Ship. You'll have furniture you could do it on soon.
He has lawn chairs. Are you kidding? He's got the Shipwreck Mansion. They probably have
He's getting
swing.
New furniture. I'm not making it up. I know.
He's what?
He's getting new stuff. Furniture. Oh.
Yes, I'm not... getting... I can say what I'm getting.
Sex swing?
Yeah. No, I'm getting one of those sumo lounge beanbags in for review.
Oh, God.
I'm going to awesome. Sit in it.
The giant one? Gonna...
Yeah, the giant one. It's a couples version, I guess.
Ooh, that's
it's
romantic.
It's the new sway couple in micro suede and funky brown.
Mm. You should just drill a hole in it.
That would kind of defeat the purpose.
I guess depends on your purpose.
I guess so. What are we talking about, show feedback?
We're talking about Shipbox, I think. So, yeah, I mean, I just think it's going to be very... And I'll just bring this up right now since we're talking about Shipbox. There were two announced... Not announced. I don't know if they were leaks. I don't know what. But two games were revealed for Shipbox and Bowel Movement. And I know, Wombat, you are probably very excited and you're probably looking to pre-order this immediately. But for the Sony product, they've got John Daly's Pro Stroke Golf is going to get move support.
Do you get fatter while you play it?
You get fatter while you play it and drunk.
He's going to be at E3. Did you get that email?
Oh,
he's
I did.
He's going to be at the booth.
I thought he was going to be in the parking lot signing T-shirts.
He's going to be mugging people in the parking lot after the show.
Well, this makes sense. This Pro Stroke Golf was a motion-censored game on the Xbox and PS2.
Hey, Chippy, wasn't the game you were going to make called Pro Stroke? But it wasn't golf.
I'm an amateur. I'm a rank amateur. Just ask Mrs. Chippy.
Amateur stroking with Chippy.
Oh, actually, in that regard, I'm a pro.
Oh, you got the joke. Good
work. The multiplayer, I'm an amateur. The single player, I'm a pro.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other big title, the one that's going to really wow them for Shipbox, is Brunswick Pro Bowling will have Natal support. So, yeah. So, of course, we're seeing all these games that are completely original and really just beg to be used with motion control. It's never been done before, so it's great. We're all very excited.
I've already set Wombat appointments for both of those at E3.
Good. We're going to give Wombat all the bad appointments.
I'm going to have to go to work.
I just got a call. We're going to be standing next to Wombat, and all of a sudden you're going to hear, you're going to see Wombat's mouth move, say, ring, ring. Oh, hold on. I got a phone call. What? I got to go. Emergency. Oh, sorry. Can't meet John
Daly. Catch you later, John Daly.
All right, Wombat, what else do we have in the show feedback?
Sure, I'll skip a couple of these.
Whatever you want.
The H2s said, wow, Wombat's voice is really nasally for the first CADcast. He sounds so different, and then he threw in the congrats on 200 episodes, which we got a lot of, so thank you, everybody, for that. But yeah, I listened to that. I didn't know you were going to put that on the end until someone told me, and I listened to the first episode again. Boy, do I sound different.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think maybe I'm older, wiser, aged.
It's, you stopped doing all that blow, too.
Stopped doing the blow. Well, it's not the years. It's the mileage. So,
right.
Yeah.
And your mic technique is better now.
Yes, that's true, too. So, but no sound effects. We swapped out sound effects for a shipwreck.
This is the first I've heard about this mic technique, too. Am I supposed to be doing something here?
You speak into the mic with authority. All right, what else we got, Wombat?
Darkness Bear. Hey, Ship, I love you, man, but you always seem to be more vocal about popular games that you do not like, which tends to get annoying when you are someone like me who is looking forward on hearing the CAG discussion about that particular game. Definitely say what you feel about the game, etc., but if it's overly negative, it would be nice not to take the majority of the time. Unless the game is critically panned by the majority, this also goes for the other two. I guess that would be us. This is just an observation and a humble request. I still absolutely love the show.
When he says the majority, does he mean you and me, Wombat, or does he mean...
He means Shipwreck spent a lot of time talking about what he didn't like about Red Dead Redemption.
Oh. And, well, he was... Well,
I tried a couple times in the conversation to try to shift it to you guys because I felt like I was really railing on the game. But at the same time, I don't care what the majority of people think about a game. Like,
of course not.
That's not going to be what I'm going to bring to the conversation is, hey, a lot of people like Red Dead Redemption.
You can mention that, but you're not going to talk about what they like about it or what they don't like about it. It's, you know, it's our opinions. Maybe I thought he meant when he said majority, he meant me and Wombat.
No, I think he meant him, which also one of the things that I also found funny, there was a couple of comments about this in this week's episode. I tend to cut both you guys off when I think you talk too long and people tend to complain about it. So I made a conscious decision that I wasn't going to do it. And there are actually a couple of comments from people like, why didn't Wombat stop them from talking too long?
I saw that.
And I'm like, really? Can I not? You can't please anybody.
No, you can't.
I don't know. I give up.
Okay. What? Anything else? Here, read this last one and then we'll move on.
Gerson says, this was my first CADcast. Call me a tight ass, but the poop jokes are really awkward and a terrible first impression. I unsubscribed. So knowing that he's not listening, fuck you, Gerson. Go to hell.
There you go. I didn't even remember there were poop jokes. Were there poop jokes?
I don't know. It's a cat.
It was a poop story. I'll tell you what, speaking of poop, ever since I've started eating less and exercising more, I'm having a much better go at it in the bathroom. Remember I told you that I was clogging my toilet constantly for like 2 weeks? Doesn't happen anymore.
Good job.
Yeah, and I lost like four pounds or 5 pounds. I'm good. When you see me at E3, you won't even recognize me. I'm going to turn sideways and you won't even, I'll be invisible.
Awesome.
I'm just kidding. I'm still pretty disgusting.
That's okay. I'm going to turn sideways. You're going to think it's a sumo chair.
I'm going to be drilling a hole in your chest.
Please don't.
I don't even need a drill. By the way, we're sharing a room. Did I tell you that?
No. Oh, I gotta work.
Ring, ring. Ring, ring.
Okay, what do we got next?
Shipwreck, why don't you lead us through this week's new releases?
Okay, well, the big one this week is Alpha Protocol for the 360 PC and PS3. And I'll talk about that, I guess, when we get to the multi-platform section. But I have a review out on the site if you're interested in that. Mm-hmm. Also, Backbreaker for the PS3 and 360 came out. And that is that non-licensed football game that has a demo out which I played some of that. It's got an interesting feel to it. It's a lot more on the field and kind of centralized on one player, kind of does like a roadie run type of thing to it. I don't know if either one of you guys check that out at all.
No.
It's a tough sell without the NFL license. I mean, right. I wish them the best, but taking down Madden's kind of hard.
Right.
Also, we have Tetris Party.
Tetris Party.
The Wii and the DS. It's Tetris.
And it's a party.
Maybe.
So, I mean, I know that there was another, the other Tetris DS game that's like super rare. So is this
Tetris DS?
Yeah.
I believe is the name of that one.
Yes. Is this better, worse, or the same? Or we don't know.
It is published by Majesco. So I would assume the Nintendo version is probably the one to stick with. But it's Tetris. I can't imagine they screwed it up that much.
I'm looking on Metacritic right now. It has an 86.
All right. So it sounds good.
The Wii version, anyway.
Well, you know, the Wii version uses the balance board. So if you want to have a party with Tetris in your balance board.
Oh, this is a WiiWare game. Yeah.
Tetris Party Deluxe is?
Tetris, I don't know. Tetris Party, it says. Maybe this is something else then.
Yeah, Tetris Party.
Oh, this is something else.
Well, it's probably the same thing. This is just more of
Deluxe.
Yeah. It's got sausage. Let me see here.
That would
here.
Be Tetris Party Supreme, by the way.
Deluxe would have sausage and pepperoni.
For Xbox Live Arcade, I know Snoopy Flying Ace came out.
I have that.
Do you? How is it?
I've played about 4 seconds of it. I downloaded it, and then we started recording. So I won it on Twitter.
From Trixie?
No, I retweeted some. I don't even know who I retweeted. I could probably tell you. But retweet this to win Snoopy. So I said, what the hell? Next thing I know, I won.
Wow. Everything's turning up Wombat.
Exactly.
Go first, you go on E3, and now Snoopy.
Snoopy, yes.
Xbox Live Events, which is an official Xbox Twitter feed.
Bueno.
So, I won.
Great. I've heard decent things about it, so.
I played it at PAX, and I enjoyed it, so I was actually looking forward to it, and now I have it.
Great. For the PSN, Planet Mini Golf came out, which I'm supposed to be getting a review copy of that in. It looks like a fun little golf game.
All right.
And that's pretty much it for the new releases. Not all that much stuff this week.
Okay. Wow, they released a PS2 game?
They did. They brought PSP the PSP Siphon Filter Logan Shadow to the PS2.
I see. Okay, so we'll talk about Alpha Protocol in a little bit. And now we will move on to CAG news and some shopping news. The first thing I want to mention is that a lot of people who have their game collections over at IGN have been complaining lately because I think it's broken or it just doesn't work as well as it used to or it doesn't work at all. I don't know what the story is. But what you can do now is you can transfer your IGN collection over to CAG, to the CAG collection system. Just go to the front page of Cheap Ass Gamer and you'll see there's a news story about it there. And I guess I should add that to the menu bar somewhere under the game and collections or something. But it's very easy. It's basically just like a couple clicks. It'll automatically add your collection. And then afterwards, you can review it to see if it screwed anything up. And it's pretty easy to get that going. And a lot of people have been doing it. I'm going to look at the stats right now to see how many new items we've had in the last few days. But big props to Super Programmer John for making that happen. And we're taking your requests for other sites that you want to be able to import from. Yeah, we picked up about 60,000.
Can I import my favorites from YouPorn to GPS Gamer?
No. Those are not games.
Maybe.
No. So we picked up about 60,000 new records, it looks like, so far. So that's pretty cool. Also, in other CAG news, we're giving away $10,000 in GameStop gift cards, which is obviously very exciting. Just go to the contest section on CAG, look in the navigation bar there, and enter the contests. Very easy to do. And Let's see. GameStop is our sponsor, and they've got some sales going on. They're still doing this, the sale items with $10 coupons off of future purchases. And there's a lot of great deals here. You got Splinter Cell Conviction for $42, Wario Land Shake It for $17, Uncharted 2 for $42, Assassin's Creed. I think they works with the used copies as well. So you could pick up a used copy of Assassin's Creed after coupons for less than $20 and get a $10 coupon. So, yeah, just head over to CAG. You'll probably see the ads there. Just click on those. And, yeah, New Super Mario Brothers Wii for $35 plus $10 coupon. So a lot of good stuff there. Check that out. And also over at GameStop, they've got 3D Dot Heroes for $29.99 with a $10 coupon. So good deals, right?
Yes.
Anyone?
Those
are amazing.
Yes.
Those are the best deals I've ever heard in my life.
Awesome. Right. I just spent my entire paycheck.
Well, I know you bought some of those.
I did. I bought Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's about it from that sale.
I see. Some other sales that you should know about. Split Second is, was it Split Second? Yeah, it's $40 at Amazon and Best Buy. And over at Amazon, they have $5 one-year subscriptions to a bunch of game magazines. Official Xbox magazine with the DVD, PlayStation magazine, Nintendo Power, and PC Gamer. All $5 each. So, yeah, just head over to cheapassgamer.com. You'll see all the deals right there on the front page.
I did take advantage of that.
Did you get all of them?
I didn't get PC Gamer. I got the other three console magazines.
That's
a really
good
deal.
It too. I know. It's really tempting.
Of course.
And I got made fun of at we were at a barbecue on Sunday, and I don't know how it came up, but I said something about Megan Fox's past, and my wife goes, "You read that in my Allure." Like, well, it's in the bathroom.
It's in the crapper.
I know. If you put something next to the toilet, I'm going to read it.
So your wife reads Allure while she's sitting on the bowl, huh?
Why not?
I guess so. And by the way, that magazine offer ends on June 5th, so hurry.
I better get cracking.
And, we got another sponsor, GoDaddy.com, gives us these coupon codes for all your web hosting needs and your domain registration needs. 10% off any order with coupon code CAG10, $5 off a $30 order with CAG5OFF30, and $7.49 domain registrations with CAG domain. All right. What is it? GoDaddy.com. CheapAssGamer.com, GoDaddy.com, Wombat
Go
Sucks.
GoDaddy with CheapAssGamer.
WombatSucks.org.
Yeah, WombatSucksSomething.com.
All right, let us move on to multiplatforming and Wombat's news and stuff. I did want to mention, brag, boast, get some street cred. I did finish Red Dead Redemption.
Well, let me tell you what I think about Red Dead Redemption.
And why it sucks.
No. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
I like the game. Obviously, I wouldn't have finished it if I didn't like it. I will not torture myself with the game. So obviously, you know, I had fun with it. There can never be anything wrong with shooting dudes in slow motion. I'll like pretty much any game that features shooting people in slow motion, or really anything in slow motion. So just for that alone, I enjoyed the game. What I do sort of disagree with everybody about is how great the story was. I mean, that seems to be like one of the big selling points of the game is that it's got this really mature, fleshed out story. And I don't know, man, it just seems very video gamey to me. It does not seem like a full-fledged story at all, especially after playing a game like Alan Wake. I think just because there's a lot of violence and swearing in it, people think that means it's a mature story. And I don't know. I sort of disagree. And Shipwreck sent me a message the other day on Instant Messenger. what did you say, Ship?
I'm still early on in the game, so I don't know all the missions that come up. But right now, I just got done doing missions with a snake oil salesman and a grave robber.
Yeah,
and
I did those
so,
too.
Yeah, I'm wondering when I get to pal around with like a something more serious, like a child rapist or something. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. I mean, these are just some good people to hang around when I'm trying to redeem myself here.
When you're trying to do like a serious life or death life or death missions that really, you know, that impact your family.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go hang around. Let's go sell some snake oil with this guy for a while. I mean,
right. Let's hang around with a guy who has a rope for a belt and doesn't look like he's bathed ever.
Hey.
I don't know. I don't want to be the one just completely bashing on the game. I think it's a good game.
It's a good game.
It just has it can't keep my attention because of all the stuff that I don't enjoy about this type of game. It just feels a little dated to me now.
Well, yeah, because it is very similar to all the Grand Theft Auto games in terms of the story and the mission structure. But of course, I mean, I found myself really enjoying the graphics. I enjoy the gunplay, like I mentioned before. The ending of the game, which we can't talk about because it's you guys haven't finished it.
Is it worth us continuing it? Can you say that much?
I liked the ending. Some people didn't like the ending. I enjoyed it. It didn't rock my world. It didn't, like, you know, like Alan Wake. People are going to, like, hate me for saying Alan Wake all this time. But, you know, I went back and I watched the ending of Alan Wake, like, 3 times at least. This one, I was like, I liked it, and there's probably no way to go back and watch the ending. But, you know, I don't know. It's a good ending. I would say
I played the same Alan Wake you played.
Oh, don't! We're gonna get into that. I'm gonna have to beat you. I'm gonna have to strangle you with your own rope belt.
This is a teaser. I'm teasing the end of the show.
Oh. Yeah,
I'm gonna tease your anus with your rope belt.
I'm foreshadowing.
Anyway, I enjoyed. I say the game is worth finishing, but it does. I just want you to finish it so I can talk to you about it.
How many hours did it take? That's a big factor in this.
It took me over 17 hours.
Oh, that's not bad. I can do that.
That's
I can
not
invest
too
17 hours
bad.
Into it.
I could try for it. I just was going to start Mario Galaxy 2 next. So.
Well, I don't know. I like the game. I would definitely recommend the game. I don't think it's a perfect game. I wouldn't give it 100 out of 100. But, you know, it's, you know, I'd definitely give it an 8.5 or a 9 or something like that. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was mostly fun. And I you know.
Did you shoot anyone in the knees?
I shot everybody everywhere.
See, that's good.
Pretty much. I mean, I liked it. I liked it. Some comments from people about Red Dead Redemption. Andy Film says, I'm really enjoying the game, and I especially like just being in that world. Having been a huge fan of John Ford and Sergio Leone Westerns, Shipwreck mentioned he was bored, and I think I recall him saying something about not liking the Western genre in a discussion about Call of Juarez. I think Shipwreck just doesn't like the setting of the game, and if you don't buy into the atmosphere, it would be hard to enjoy anything else about the game. Keep up the good work. Special shout-out to Wombat's film knowledge. I live in California and attended NYU film school, so I appreciate the insight. So that means he's a waiter now?
Maybe. Maybe he's a filmmaker, and he obviously is a scholar because he knows when I'm dropping knowledge that's legit.
Right. Shipwreck, do you not like the Western genre?
No, I don't love the Western genre.
I love Westerns.
Yeah, so do I.
It's below sci-fi for me, but
Wombat, have you ever seen The Proposition?
I haven't. That's a more recent one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out like a year or two ago.
It's in Australia, the Australian West, or New Zealand. I don't remember. One of those weird places, somewhere down under.
I know of the film, but I have not.
Yeah,
seen it.
You should see it. Basically, Red Dead Redemption takes stories from about 3 or 4 different movies and just, you know, throws them all together. And even still, there's not that much story there. Like, I don't know. I didn't like the character that much. I didn't like the main character that much.
That's the Rockstar problem. They do not know how to make a main character. They just don't.
I think a lot of people liked him, though.
Like the character. I just think that it's so contradictory, everything that he's doing.
Yeah, that's why I don't like him.
That's the whole point. That's the problem, is they make characters, but then they have the actions that don't match the character.
Right, right.
And
it's why I had to stop watching Weeds, the TV show Weeds, because I liked the show, but the main character started to get so stupid, started to do all this dumb shit. And as much as I enjoyed the show, I just, like, I couldn't stay interested in the show anymore. Because I just didn't believe that the main character was a real person. You know?
That's why I stopped watching CSI.
It was too fake?
Yeah, it got to be too matters of convenience. If that guy was only standing 1 inch to the left, he wouldn't have accidentally been killed by that you know, piece of glass. Like, really? That doesn't happen.
King Brawley.
I Carly.
Right.
Well, you know,
it's grounded in reality.
Well, whenever I'm at the Groovy Smoothie, I always watch that on my PearPod. So, yeah.
I'm so glad I don't know what any of that stuff is.
Shipwreck does.
Yeah.
Oh, I
don't
do.
Know. Shipwreck has no excuse, even.
No, he doesn't. But we both love iCarly.
iCarly is a quality show.
That is quality.
It's one of the top rated shows on cable.
She's the second highest paid child actor in the country.
What channel is it on?
Nickelodeon.
Oh. All right. King Brawley says, Cheapy, do you think your theory of Frank could be more associated with publishers than actual titles themselves? I hear your displeasure of the scores Red Dead Redemption is getting due to some sort of rock star bias, and I'm thinking your theory of Frank should be moved up a notch. If Red Dead Redemption was published by Sega or someone else, I definitely don't think the scores would be as high. I agree. I totally agree. 100%. I think that Rockstar like made this like ivory tower image of themselves somehow, that they're like the pinnacle of the gaming industry, and in fact, like, if you don't like their stuff, you get punished in a way. And speaking of that, actually, did you see, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here, did you see, you know who Kevin Butler is? He's the like the fake Sony executive that does those commercials, those PS3 commercials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know who he is.
Okay. He's an actor that that does the commercials and also has
he's
a
in
Twitter
commercials.
Account.
You say for Sony,
right? So he did a he had a tweet on his Twitter account, and it went like something like this: apparently, in the Old West, people love to have really, really boring conversations while they rode their horses. And I read this on Kotaku, and then they show a link. They have a link to the tweet, and I clicked on the link, and I see that it's gone. So they obviously deleted it. They deleted it. Now, how that... I mean, this is obviously Kevin Butler. This whole thing is just marketing and all that. So how that passed the PR censor... I mean, it is PR is the one that's writing it. I'm sure Kevin Butler...
Yeah,
guy,
no,
the
it's,
actor,
it's
is
played by an
it.
Actor, and I don't think, yeah, the actor...
No, I don't think he's controlling the Twitter account. That just blew my mind when I saw that. I was like, oh my God. So yeah, that's gonna there'll be some backlash, I'm sure.
Well, they took down the tweet, so
they took down the tweet, but I there's gonna be some heads are gonna roll. I guarantee it.
PR cannot be that truthful.
You know what's funny is I saw that tweet when it came up initially and laughed.
Oh, on your feed? You follow that dude?
Yeah, I do. Why not? He's funny.
Yeah, it is funny. It's a funny Twitter account.
Right. Okay, so let's... I guess we're done with Red Dead. I mean, I really wish I could talk about the ending with you guys, but...
Well, you'll have to wait.
I'll have to wait.
Keep it in your pants. Tell me about Alpha Protocol, Shipwreck. Bores to death. Go ahead.
I'm not going to bore you to death with Alpha Protocol. I kind of like Alpha Protocol. It's certainly got a lot of flaws, but I say that it does choice better than any game to date.
You mean as in your choices have real consequences?
As in your choice to keep playing or go to sleep?
No, this is how, like, people are going to hate me for this, but I sat down, I finished off a protocol, I was sitting down, I was like, maybe I'll play some more Red Dead Redemption. Instead, I started another game of Alpha Protocol.
So you sat down to play Red Dead Redemption, you said, this is no Alpha Protocol, I'm going back to Alpha Protocol.
I clearly see that Red Dead Redemption is the higher quality game, but I enjoy Alpha Protocol immensely more.
You're saying the production values and everything are higher in Red Dead Redemption, but more fun with Alpha Protocol.
Yeah, Alpha Protocol, like, everything you do has a reaction to, like, the story or how the missions play out. Like, depending on whether you are snarky to a person or professional when you're talking to them, that could either lead to them liking or disliking you and aiding you in missions, or... that person could just, like, be wiped out completely. There's characters that you might not even see. You can attack missions in any order that you want, and the game recognizes this and, like, feeds back information to show you what has changed because of your decisions. It's very cool, like, as a just, like, underlying system. The problem is the game parts of it, the combat and everything, just feels very dated, and a lot of people aren't going to like it because it is a math-based shooter. You don't just aim at somebody and then pull the trigger and they die because the bullets might not fly that way because your stats might not be good.
I see.
So there's a lot of stuff that's broken about the combat. And it's just the enemy AI is just bizarre. There's guys that just run up to you and punch you in the face and then run away, which is really strange to say the least.
I don't know. That's how I fight.
Yeah.
Run away, run away.
But I would say this would be a game that, like, Wombat may actually enjoy, but I don't think Cheapy would.
Yeah, I'm a whore for quality.
Yes.
Quality whore.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I think if you had interest in Alpha Protocol going in and you can accept this is nowhere near the level of polish of a Mass Effect, I think you should still check it out. Like, I think the biggest weaknesses in the game is that there are so many different branches to it that you really can't, like, the stuff that you can appreciate is the stuff that you're never going to fully see in the game. Like, they spent so much time making sure all these decisions work together to actually form a cohesive storyline that everything around it isn't all that great.
Is the story actually any good?
It's like a popcorn spy movie storyline. So there's a lot of double crosses and kind of...
Can you follow it? Like, can you follow what's actually going on?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like, the whole game, your Michael Thornton character, your spy, he's in between levels. He's in a interrogation room. Like, so it's kind of like a flashback, all the different missions. And so every time you go back to this interrogation room, the person... like kind of recaps what happened in the different missions and how your actions made different things play out.
Previously on Alpha Protocol.
Yes. Yeah, basically.
Well, it sounds like you you really enjoyed the game.
I did. I still only gave it like a fair, so a 3 out of 5 basically on our review scale.
Right.
But I enjoyed my time with it.
What was your buy price on that?
$30, I think.
Hmm. How long did it take you to get through it?
Just under 15 hours for my first playthrough.
First playthrough.
Well, you can play through as, like, there's a bunch of different classes and stuff, so you can play through completely different. Like, my class was just, I beefed up the assault rifle and I beefed up my armor and didn't really worry about the stealth stuff. So I just went through and, like, activated a power that let me just get shot a bunch of times. And so I just walk into a room and just take out everybody with the assault rifle and then let that power recharge and repeat.
Gotcha. All right. Well, sounds like people should definitely check out your review on CAG on the front page of cheapassgamer.com to learn more.
But it's broken as all hell too.
Like, I mean, I remember seeing it E3 and like, I remember we walked out of the room and I was like, whoa.
And I walked out of the room and I said, that has potential.
Right. Shipwreck was like, wow, that looks cool. And I was like, what? It's like, we just look at the same game.
Yeah. I can tell that it's not great, but I like it.
Okay. Wait, what happened here? We have no other stories here, huh? Okay, well, let's move on to Sony.
We have a lot to cover.
Yeah, we have a lot. So let's move right on to Sony. Wombat, you're playing more 3D Dot Game Heroes.
I am not playing more 3D Dot Heroes. It's the other person that's been playing a lot of
The other.
There's three people on this show, and one of them isn't me, and one of them isn't you.
That's a fun game.
I know.
That's a lot like Zelda.
Are you playing? Like Zelda. What character are you playing as?
Blue guy with
horns,
kind of feathery things on his helmet.
Yeah, I call them. I think they're horns, but yes, okay. Default guy. Yeah.
Well, we were playing as Ninja Girl for a while, I think, too. We've changed characters several times throughout the game. We is Mrs. Shipwreck and I. She likes to do the exploring the overworld parts, which I don't really care about. They kind of bore me. So I just do the dungeon parts, which she doesn't like because they're kind of difficult. So... it works out well. What doesn't work out well is that I don't pay attention to what she's upgrading and what she isn't. So when I go to fight the like third to last boss or whatever, it takes me like 75 hits because we're still using the second rated sword in the game instead of upgrading.
Boish.
But I got it done. It's a. Have you gotten the book yet, Wombat?
To capture the monster books.
I got the bestiary. That's pretty funny. To capture them, you actually have to hit the monsters with the book repeatedly until.
Yeah, it takes forever with some creatures.
Yeah, but it's a fun game.
Would I like it?
Do you like the old Zelda games?
I don't know. I liked watching my friend play it. He never let me play.
You wouldn't even like it.
I don't think you'd like it. I don't think there's enough narrative there for you.
Narrative? Well, I don't know if I need narrative.
You would there's get no... bored in about 10 minutes.
Okay. I trust you, Wombat. I'll skip it then. Also, there's another Western game that came out recently called Lead and Gold.
Yeah, I know Wombat checked that out. Have you checked that out yet, Cheapy?
Nope.
This is a downloadable game on PSN.
It's very much like Team Fortress meets Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool. I actually kind of like it because it's you can get in and out of games really quickly, and I'm actually pretty good at it. Like, I don't know if you guys have found this, but when you play on PS3 on multiplayer games, you are a little bit higher on the totem pole than you are on a 360.
The quality of competition is lower.
I find that that's the case on at least on shooters.
I don't know. I haven't played much.
But yeah, it's a fun little third person game with a lot of different modes. I mainly played this mode that was basically capture the flag, where you just have to get bags of gold back to like a spawn point for your team. But
how much is it?
I want to say it's like $15.
Right. It's also on PC, but don't you think like maybe people are better off just buying Red Dead Redemption and playing the multiplayer mode with that?
I have not touched the multiplayer on Red Dead yet, so I can't. Wombat's played both.
I think there may actually be a little more to Red Dead Redemption, just because there's the level system and the different and the and better weapons. But it doesn't mean Lead and Gold isn't fun. It's just All right.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else we have for Sony? Oh, Wombat, here's a story that you are interested in.
Yeah, DC maybe. Universe Online is actually being released this November. Exactly when, we don't know, but we do know that it's going to be on the PS3 and the PC this November, which is all right. There was a write-up on Joystick of a brief playthrough, which sounded kind of meh about the game, which sounds very similar to my experience when I played the game, what was it? A year and a half ago at New York Comic Con.
We should get Wombat an appointment with this game.
We could do that. They definitely still have appointments open as of a couple days ago when I was talking to them.
Do you want to see that, Wombat?
Yeah, and it's funny. I did get an email from someone who's working on the game.
Oh.
When I said that I didn't know if this game was even coming out anymore, I did get an email from someone who goes, I work on the game, and it's coming out. So...
There's still no details on monthly pricing or anything.
No, there isn't. And I don't think a monthly fee is going to fly on a PS3 game.
Right.
I just don't see anyone. I think it's hard to justify a console game where you're paying your $60 up front and then expected to pay a monthly fee.
All right,
well, it needs an audience first.
That's being published by... Sony Online Entertainment, right? So we should set that up. And also the agency, too, right? I wonder if they're showing that. They must be.
The agency, I don't know that they're showing. Is that... maybe they are. They showed it last year.
But they showed a video, right? Or no?
They showed a video of gameplay, though.
Okay.
But you couldn't actually play it last year.
Right. All right, well, we should set that up, because Wombat's a comic nerd.
That is true.
And he's got a rope for a belt.
And I do.
Some Magical good news, lasso. I guess, if you're looking to buy a PSP Go, there's some deals now. Sony's like, wait a minute, nobody bought our console, our handheld. So now there's a few things going on. First of all, you get three free games. You get Little Big Planet, Ratchet and Clank Size Matters, and SOCOM Fireteam Bravo 3 for free. And also, there's a bunch of $10 games coming out, and games like, I don't know, anything. These are older games. Quite old.
Justice League Heroes is a good game, though.
Well, you got LocoRoco 2, Patapon 2, Sims 2. I mean, there's a list of games here.
A lot of these games you can pick up for $10. Price.
Yeah, right. I remember seeing, like, Patapon 2.
Like, for UMD versions, you can pick up for $10 at a lot of places. At least
I'd rather have a cheaper PSP Go. How much are they still selling this thing for? $250?
Yeah.
But they're all crack.
Yeah.
$150 would be a maybe, and that would be a maybe.
But would you even do that? Because you know that there's a PSP 2. There's got to be a PSP 2 coming soon. You would think by this holiday season.
It's just such a failure.
I heard that they're not showing it at E3, but it does exist, and it's... I mean, I would imagine it would come out this year.
Who knows?
It would have to compete with the DS. I mean, they don't want to have the new DS come out and Sony has nothing. I mean, you gotta get in there. And also, finally, I guess this might be just only at Fry's. I'm not sure, but if you buy a Sony PS3, I guess it's the 250 gigabyte model. They're throwing in Little Big Planet Game of the Year edition and an HDMI cable. Might only be at Fry's, though, so if you're away. But I don't know, like, are you really going to buy some new hardware with E3 2 weeks away?
I'm not.
I would say no. And speaking of PS3, the first wave of 3D PS3 games are coming to Japan on June 10th. Wipeout HD, Super Stardust HD, and Pain. Wombat, Pain. You love Pain.
I do love Pain.
And you like the game also.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah. They're all free upgrades except for Pain. You have to pay around $3 to get Pain in 3D.
Of course you do. You have to pay for everything in that
Pain,
game.
Yeah, Pain is the most microtransactions game ever.
Right.
It's going to be like a $150 game by now.
Right, if you buy all that crap.
Yeah. That might actually work well in 3D, though. Pain? Like, that would...
Might look cool, yeah.
Yeah, it might look cool.
I don't know. I'm still not sold on the whole 3D thing. In fact, I listened to... You're not going to believe this. I listened to gaming podcasts. Not one, but two different gaming podcasts. I listened to Achievement Junkie, which is not even a gaming podcast anymore. Now they just talk about their lives, basically. But still entertaining. And short. It's only a half an hour, so that's good, too. And I listened to Weekend Confirmed.
Oh.
Howard Stern is on vacation, so I have to, like, sort of hold on.
How is that?
Weekend Confirmed?
Yeah, I haven't listened to it.
It was good. I mean, they get to see a lot of stuff that we don't get invited to. So they got to see Killzone 3 and in 3D. And they didn't really like the 3D. Nobody seems to be excited about 3D. I mean, on that show, at least.
Giant Bomb saw it, too, and they said the same thing.
Yeah. I think nobody's really looking forward to 3D at this point. No one has seen the killer 3D app yet. And I don't know what it is, but yeah, they seem to like be excited by Killzone 3, just not by the 3D part of it. So, anyway, we got a message from A Haggerty 93, who just wanted to say he had no problems with the load times of Mod Nation Racers. He says they're longer than the average game, but so was Little Big Planet. I watched the video. It took like 4 minutes for you to get into a game.
Sentence there is, most of the loads take around a minute for me.
Yeah, that's minute load time? I can't do that. I'm done. Here you go. I fold.
It's about 4 minutes from when you put the disc in to when you can actually get into a race. 4 minutes. Literally. I watched the video on Ars Technica. They sit there with the camera. Ben holds the camera on the screen. So, I don't know. That's a long time. They'll probably fix it. We'll wait to see when they fix it.
They'll patch it, and then... I'll wait until I get it on the cheap.
Exactly.
And I'll enjoy it then.
All right, let's move on to Microsoft. Now, for those of you who don't want to stick around for our Alan Wake spoiler discussion, Wombat, are you kidding when you say you didn't like Alan Wake? Or are you just trying to get under my craw?
I enjoyed it. I didn't love it as much as you, but I enjoyed it.
How would it... I mean, let's see. Let me think of a game you can compare it to. Resident Evil 5.
It's better than Resident Evil 5. It's in fact, Capcom should play Alan Wake to learn right. how to make a good Resident Evil game.
Right. Was it better than Resident Evil 4?
No. Not even close. Not
Why
even
not?
Close.
Why? Why?
I think, well, first of all, there was a newness to Resident Evil 4 when it came out. Because I had never played a game like that ever. I think that there was also something to be said about the idea of there was customization and there was character building that Alan Wake doesn't have. The episode structure, although it's a great idea and it works, I think you lose something when you start from scratch at the beginning of each episode. Okay. And there are other things that I can add to it, but I don't want to say it before we hit the spoiler conversation.
Okay.
So bring this back up again in 10 minutes, and I'll tell you exactly what I would have done.
Okay, sounds good. There's a rumor going around that Hulu is coming to, I was going to say Halo, but that's definitely coming, coming to the Xbox 360, and that it will be revealed at E3. Do you guys use Hulu at all?
That's how I watch my 30 Rock and Community.
Oh.
I use it on occasion, but I generally like watching stuff on my TV screen, so maybe I would use it if it was on a 360.
What if you had to pay?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't pay.
No.
No. Even if it was like $2 a month?
No.
No. I already pay for cable and the DVR, so I'm set
Netflix?
On
you stuff. Pay for Netflix?
No, I don't have Netflix.
You don't have Netflix.
I do.
Okay. I can't use Hulu. If you're not in the United States, you cannot use Hulu. They IP, geographically IP ban you. I mean, I could run an IP blocker. Oh, no, actually, you can't. They fixed it. You can't even run the IP blocker, at least not the one I used to use. Now they yell at you. They're like, you're using an IP blocker. Naughty, naughty. You're not going to watch it. It's very silly. So I don't know. That's just another selling point, I guess. Here's something we might be interested in. Mass Effect developers are looking for a multiplayer programmer.
So you mean either BioWare or specifically BioWare. The people who worked on Mass Effect?
BioWare. And it looks like it's for Mass Effect, but we don't know if it's for some DLC for Mass Effect 2 or for Mass Effect 3 or for like some new Mass Effect multiplayer game.
Ugh, don't do it. I know you're listening.
Don't even bother.
Don't do it. Just don't do it. It doesn't need
don't
it.
Don't bother.
It's going to be a waste of your money. It's going to be a waste of everyone's time. It's not going to catch on, and you're going to wind up making DLC for it, and you're going to wind up with something like BioShock 2, where you have this crappy online multiplayer that you keep releasing more crappy online multiplayer packs for, and people keep saying, whatever happened when you guys used to make good single-player games? So we don't want to have to say that about you. So I'm going to say, take those dollars and spend it elsewhere within the single-player experience to enrich that and maybe make that game a little bit longer and, who knows, maybe even a little bit better.
I have to agree with you. I'm not really looking for multiplayer when I play Mass Effect. I have, you know, I don't
What if it was
it.
Mako battles? Just everybody was in Makos.
Then you got me. I mean, maybe they can do it in a great way, Wombat. I think your mindset is that they're not going to be able to do it right.
No, it's not a question of do it right. It's what are they going to do? Is it going to just be, oh, and look, it's team deathmatch with your Shepherd.
Conversation battles.
Exactly.
Everybody's just going to have four-way conversations.
Mass Effect isn't about running and gunning. I mean, if it was something completely different, something that was maybe, you know, a slower, maybe strategy type game, I don't know.
Well, look at it this way. They may have something really different in mind, and they're not just looking to throw on some, you know, generic multiplayer component to the game. Maybe they got something great planned.
But it would have to be something great. It can't just be throwing these characters and these abilities into Team Deathmatch and Capture the Flag and calling it a new experience, because it isn't. I'm pretty much done with that. There are games that already do that. I don't need more games that have Capture the Flag and Team Deathmatch in it.
You don't want, like, Modern Warfare 2 in space.
Basically.
All right. I wouldn't mind that, actually.
That they make that game. It's called Halo.
Nah, but it's not really.
It's in Halo space.
Halo is always... Yeah, it is in space, but...
Okay, how about Gears of
Halo
War?
Halo plays very differently.
Gears?
Well, Gears of War is sort of in space, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in space.
Kinda. I don't know where that is, actually.
It's space. It's different planets. It's space all enough.
Right. All right. Let's... well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that BioWare knows what they're doing, and they seem to know what they're doing.
They haven't made a mistake yet, but,
right.
You know, it's the first time for everything. That's all I'm
right.
saying.
Let's be optimistic on this one.
Fuck optimism.
Right. Optimism doesn't put asses in seats.
Exactly.
Nintendo. Somebody's playing Super Mario Galaxy 2?
That's someone would be me.
Yay. You.
Anytime there's a game on this list, it's generally me.
Right.
Well, so I have games. The game. It's right next to me. I just haven't opened it yet.
Great. Why don't you just put your hand on it and you can tell us how the box feels.
Well, it's in a Gamefly sleeve.
No.
Underneath right, my copy ahead. Of Raiden Fighting Aces. Mm.
So I've gotten about 5 stars in Super Mario Galaxy 2, which obviously is not very many stars. I've come to realize what one of the issues I have with the Galaxy series is there's a insane amount of talking with absolutely nothing to say.
Right.
What? I don't care, stars. I don't care if I need to collect you. I know I need to collect you. Stop telling me that.
They complained about that on Weekend Confirmed. They're like, why do they even bother trying to put some sort of type of story in the game? It's just a complete waste of time.
All I need to see is Bowser take the princess, and then that's it. Like,
right.
I go off and collect stuff until I find Bowser, and I beat him and take the princess back. I don't right. need narrative when it's really bad narrative.
And you have to read it, right? It's not even...
Yeah, you can't get past it. Yeah. You have
there's
to
no voice
there.
Acting, right?
No. Just like grunts and stuff like that. But that is one of my big issues, I think, with the 3D Mario franchise.
I'm just picturing
like,
the text going across the screen, and it just Mario. Ugh! Ugh!
That might at least make me giggle. There's been Mario games with good writing too. I mean, you have like all of the Partners in Time, Mario and Luigi games, and the portable systems, and the Paper Marios and the Super Paper Mario. Those all have great writing, but it's just boring. The Mario Galaxy writing. I feel like I'm saying boring a lot about games, and that's a bad thing.
Right.
But the gameplay is fine. It's Mario Galaxy, but more of it.
All right.
Yeah. Wombat can play some of it and let me know if I'm wrong about this, but.
No, I'm looking forward to playing it. I love those sound effects.
I didn't care for the first one. We know, we talked about this last week. We don't need to rile up everybody
again.
We're
beating
a
dead
horse. Nintendo is dropping the prices of some of the DS hardware in Japan starting June 19th. Everything is dropping, let's see, about $20 to $30. The DSi, the LL, the extra large one is dropping $20. And the DSi is dropping, what is that? That is almost, I can't my math, that's about $40 actually. Wow, the DSi is that much here? The DSi is $190 here. Could that be right? I don't know. This might be a mistake on Destructoid. This doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, the point is, it doesn't matter what it costs in Japan because you don't live in Japan. The point is that they're dropping the prices in Japan. So if you're in the market, if you're thinking about buying one of these things and you're living in anywhere else, wait.
Why would Nintendo drop the prices here?
They're selling so many.
Right. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
On a side note, I just got my confirmation to the Sony press conference.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks to Jeff. Jeff hooked us up. Jeff Rubenstein.
Thank you.
Jeff. Member of the tribe's got to hook you up, you know?
That's how it works.
That's how it works. We have a secret club. You know, I just go beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
I think everyone knows that.
Yeah. That was nice. All right, so now we, Shipwreck, you got to get him into the Nintendo one.
Oh, I can do that. It's not a problem.
Good. And then I got to try to get you both into the Microsoft one.
That's going to be a problem.
I know, but I'm going to try. I'm not giving up. I'm going to Photoshop a picture of Major Nelson doing something that he shouldn't be doing. And then, you know, hold it over him. Think that'll be effective?
Yes.
Might as well try.
All right. All right, let's move on. We're done with Nintendo? Oh, wait, here's a question. Here's a comment from Darkness Bear. He says, this is a question about Mario. Do you think it's time for him to be stopped? Seems odd to me that gaming has essentially started with Mario, yet continues to produce games starring this character today. It would be like if Disney only focused on making Mickey movies and would rarely step outside of that realm. Mickey's a great, iconic character, but there's no need for him to be the star of the majority of their movies. Is it time to limit Mario to only small cameos and grow up as a company to start introducing new characters? Would the death of Miyamoto call in this new age? And then in parentheses he says, not saying I'd be involved. Did he just give a death threat to Miyamoto?
Maybe a little bit. But here's where your theory falls flat. It's Nintendo does make other games other than Mario games. And there's still an audience for the Mario games. People are still buying them. And there actually is still an audience for Mickey Mouse. There's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on Disney Junior that is enjoyed by children under the age of 5 all over the world.
Right.
So I don't think that there's a problem. There are obviously people really enjoy Super Mario Galaxy 2. And as long as they're making games that are of a standard that are worthy of the continuation of the character, then no. It's when they make, if they made Super Mario Galaxy 3 and it was like Alpha Protocol, then, you know, then we'd have a problem.
I think he's in the same boat as me in that he's played a lot of Mario games over the years, put in so many hours, and he's not really looking for more Mario. I mean, he's not exactly what you'd call a compelling character.
Well, you are not looking for more Mario.
No, I know.
But there's
right.
someone else this is their first Mario game.
And there's also someone else that's their 50th Mario game, and they love it. Most people are like
exactly.
that.
Should continue to keep making Mario games.
Yeah, I think we're in the minority here, Darkness Bear. I think I'm, you know, you and me, you know, we're sick of him, but everyone else seems to really love it. So we're out of luck, I guess. We're not going to see any new IP except for Wii Party or something. Didn't we? There's some rumor about Wii Party. We're going to see more mini games with our avatar, our Miis. Let's see. iPhone, in the iPhone section, Flyers241 writes in, he says, hey guys, how do you learn about new iPhone games and when they're on sale? Have you ever considered reviewing them? And will we ever get an iPhone game price tracker on CAG? I'll answer the last part first. Yes, iPhone game price tracker is coming to CAG. They're opening up their data. So we're going to be able to get in on that. Shipwreck, have you ever considered reviewing iPhone games?
I've considered it, but I don't think there's enough return on my time there. Like these are very small games, and it takes a while to actually put together a review. So
right.
I like reviewing them on the CADcast when we talk about them.
Yeah, I think that's fine for now.
Written reviews for them don't really make sense, I don't think.
What we'll do is once we start adding the iPhone games to CAG for our database, you guys will be able to review the games. So you'll be able to see what your fellow CAGs think of it. How's that? Good enough? How do you learn about new iPhone games? I mean, I learn about them from you, basically, Ship.
Yeah, I learn about them from various Twitter people talking about iPhone games, and I go to other sites that show price drops on games. So
And truck stops. Don't forget truck stops.
Truck stops are an excellent place to meet herpes. Women and
women. When they have beards, they're not women.
You weren't there this morning, so you don't understand.
Oh,
yeah, but it is. It's good for beef jerky, meeting women, and iPhone games. Mm-hmm. So check to see if you have a local truck stop. Venture out there and hang out for a while.
All right, let's move on to show us your tweets, CAGbag, et cetera, et cetera, and then we'll get onto our Alan Wake spectacular. Digital Shrapnel is basically requesting on CAG a place that he can buy and sell hardware, consoles and stuff like that. Yeah, we just need to figure out a way to do it because there's so many different variations, different bundles and whatnot. It might get confusing. So we need to figure out a way to do that, and then we can add that. Boblius. Shipwreck. I used to like on CAG Foreplay when you talk about the older, obscure games. I think he means to say more obscure. You managed to pick up during the week. Any chance you could bring a bit of that to the CAGcast?
I can try doing that.
Spend the last two shows talking about Monster Runners?
Monster Racers.
Monster Racers.
I did. I think he's just talking about maybe the older stuff. Like pick up and get some older generation stuff from time to time. So I can talk briefly about that stuff. It just doesn't really fit in quite as well with the CatCast audience.
Right, because Wombat and I don't care.
Yeah.
Not Monster even a
Racers.
Okay. Let's move on to Thomas 96. He says, do you guys feel that charging for the online component of games, you know, if you buy the game used, can help against piracy? I don't think, you know, you're talking about console stuff. I don't think that people who are pirating games are, I mean, I haven't really checked to see what the latest status of the piracy scene is on Xbox 360, but I'm thinking that people who are pirating games there are doing it pretty much for single player games and that they don't hook their stuff up to live. But I would imagine it's just, if it isn't already, there's a matter of time before, you know, they can do some sort of blocking so they can play the games online. That's a good point, though. That is if you do make somebody spend but look, it's not going to really combat against piracy because then you're getting a game for $10 instead of $60. You know, if now all they have to do is spend $10 and buy a code to play online, it's still cheaper than playing $60. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't really know. I don't talk to a lot of pirates, so I'm not sure what they're thinking. Wombat, I know you got the latest pirating technology all set up.
You mean like a boat and a telescope and an eye patch? Because I got that.
You do have that.
I do have that.
Kryptonic says, I recently got into an argument with somebody about how I choose not to let my kids, a 5 and 2 year old boy, see violent games like Red Dead Redemption, Just Cause 2, and Demon's Souls. I also choose not to play games while my kids are awake, since I value my time with my children over gaming. He says, he thinks I'm a pussy, that I don't allow my boys to see those types of games. Since you guys have kids, do you subject your kids to the games you play, if not age appropriate? And how much does having kids impede your gaming time? I mean, I don't play any games really in front of Ty. Maybe once in a while I'll play Chime, the puzzle game, because he likes the music. But that's it.
It's very rare. The only time I ever turn on either console while Sabrina's in the room is if, say, I really want to download something so I can play it while she's asleep. I'll turn it on and set it to download. And when I have the controller, she has her own Xbox controller that doesn't have a battery in it.
Yeah, so, I do that.
Yeah, and she just likes to sit on the couch and play with the knobs. Occasionally I'll put on Geometry Wars because she thinks she's playing. But yeah, that's really about it, though.
I let Ty watch when I would mine for minerals on Mass Effect 2. He really liked that. He would say, probe away.
Nice.
But there was an audience for it somewhere.
There was. There was somebody who liked. He also liked watching the doors open and close on the spaceship on Mass Effect. Let's see. All right. I think that's it. I think now's a good time. Here. Let's do our little housekeeping now.
The spiel.
So I want to remind everybody to let's see. First, you should review us on iTunes and subscribe to us on iTunes. We really appreciate that. Oh, and you should go to iTunes and look at our new logo. It looks very nice on iTunes. And I've noticed they've changed the way things work on iTunes now. Now they have a section. Here, I gotta pull this up because I follow this stuff pretty closely just because I like to see my name up in lights, at least my picture up in lights. So now they have two different sections for charts, for the charts there. One is down to individual episodes. So it tells you what the most downloaded episodes. I don't know how they measure it. But it's top episodes and then top podcasts. And what's hot. So we're always in like the what's hot section. And sometimes we're in the top other section too, but not as much. Anyway, but if you review us a lot, that helps us stay in the what's hot section. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Tell a friend about the CatCast.
Yes.
Is it really so hard? Do all our listeners have no friends? Just tell a friend. And they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends.
And then we'll be living like kings.
Yeah, rolling.
Rolling. Yeah, so so subscribe to us and review us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/GPD, twitter.com/wombat5277, and twitter.com/shipwreck.
That's right.
And, yeah, we've got some coupon codes for GoDaddy.com, 10% off any order, CAG10, $5 off $30 order, CAG5 off 30, and $7.49 domain registrations, coupon code CAGDOMAIN at GoDaddy.com. Word. And now our show is ending, and the spoiler-filled Alan Wake discussion is beginning now. So if you don't want to hear some, spoilers, stop listening. All right, we ready? Everyone gone?
It's just us.
It's just us. All right. So
I think we're alone now.
Wombat, you said you had some stuff you wanted to get into first.
Do you want to do that first, anything, or do you want to do it more organically? I guess it really doesn't.
I don't know. What do you do? Well, you can start us off any way you want, Wombat.
So here we go. I'll start. We'll do the bad first, and then we'll go into the good, because there is a lot of good. The bad is, I mean, they might as well just call this "Guy Wearing Too Many Coats Walks Through the Woods." The game.
Okay.
What? Why?
But it's not just the woods. You'd use other environments.
You're in the woods a lot.
You're in the woods a lot.
A lot.
Okay.
Every episode has got. But it's, you know what? I need a little more variation than that. I'm sorry.
What do you call Resident Evil 4?
Resident Evil 4.
Guy in a Spanish village.
No, he goes from the woods, and then he's in the castle, and then he's somewhere else. I mean,
else is he?
There's the third place.
Somewhere else.
There's the third place.
There's different places in Alan Wake.
Yes, there are.
There's a lot of woods. It's a lot of forests.
There's a lot of woods. I could see if you. I
the woods
see
are
that
the in-between parts that
I like the
they
woods.
Use to get you to the next lighted section, which is the new buildings and stuff that you explore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like the woods, frankly.
It's not that I didn't like the woods. There was too much woods. I need the woods. It was just too much. It's like, oh, I feel like I've already played. It's like, didn't I do this in episode one? I felt like that a lot. Like, didn't I already do this in episode two? The driving. I didn't like the driving.
Yeah, that's such a small portion of it.
Though. Well, it should have been smaller.
It was pretty small.
Yeah, I mean, most of my complaints are nitpicks. Don't get me wrong. I'll clarify that right now. My complaints are mostly nitpicks. I didn't like the driving.
Fine.
I think the game would have been better with more shorter episodes. The game's still the same length, but more shorter episodes than six longer episodes.
I liked the way the episodes were. I thought it always seemed like I was going to be getting to the end of an episode, but then it would keep going for a while.
But if you're going for that TV show episode feel, then maybe you should have ended it.
Okay, that's not a bad complaint, because I remember playing at one point and like, and I think it's also the way that maybe you and I play Wombat. Like, I know you were in a somewhat of a hurry to get through the game, and you probably wanted to play all the episode, like an episode in one shot, which is probably the best way to do it.
I couldn't do it with every episode.
Yeah, I did actually. I think maybe one I didn't. But okay, I mean, that's not a bad suggestion for future endeavors.
There's something else that kind of bothered me. So let's get into, we'll get a little more into the story. So he's basically writing the story of the game as we go, sorta, kinda. Right? The character of Alan Wake.
There's a week missing in there, but yes.
Yeah. But yeah.
Right. There's a week in there where he is
writing,
doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Where he's writing basically the story of the game. Why didn't he write himself more help?
Because he's under the influence of the dark presence. You see at the end when he's at the typewriter again, you see he's basically just like when Rose calls up your Joe Pesci type friend. Mm-hmm. And tells Barry. Her that she's got Barry, and tells her that she's got the manuscript, and you see she's clearly under the presence of the dark, power of the dark presence. That's what Alan Wake was doing.
Yeah, I don't know. And
he does, and that's how he escapes. He escapes because he realizes sort of more what's going on, and that he can write himself help and get out. And that's
which is how he gets out. And then he's fighting the darkness. I just think he would have written himself a little more help, like. I don't know, someone that could, like, I would have liked instead of Zane, that's his name, right? The other?
Thomas Zane.
Instead of him being a light, I would have preferred it if he was a character, sort of like some sort of version of the shopkeeper from Resident Evil 4.
Where, you might see that
where
in the DLC.
Where he gives you items. As opposed to just being, I would have liked that. It's
well,
just,
they, you were getting
and that's more of a creative
items.
Choice.
Yeah, you were getting items from the Lady of the Light, though.
You were getting items, right. Yes. You got the chests from her. And right. You would find other stuff lying around. And I don't know, and maybe some sort of, I mean, yes, I know there were different types of flashlights, but I don't know, maybe just some sort of, a more organic progression of your character mechanically. Where you got more stuff and your character got better. If I got the best flashlight, I didn't have to start with the worst flashlight. Like, I have the best flashlight, and then in the same episode, I fall out of a helicopter, and now I have the crappy flashlight. Where did my good flashlight go?
It fell. It broke.
It fell.
It doesn't work. Yeah, see? But would now you, I have a new
would
one?
Would you guys... Well, I mean, I like the story. I the story is the strongest part, and the atmosphere, two strongest parts.
The story
I
and the atmosphere are you know, it's very good. And one of the things I really liked about the game, I really liked the use of the licensed music. Mm-hmm. I wish they had used more licensed music than the actual score. Like, you know, one of the hooks in the game is to get more information. You turn on radios every now and again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It would be cool, like, say you're, you know, and this only happened really, I think, once in the game where you turned on the radio and the music played while you actually needed to fight some enemies. And I kind of like that. And I would have liked to have seen more of that.
What about the stage performance?
That was awesome. I love that.
That was awesome.
So, yeah, I would have liked to have seen more of that. But that, again, that's a small complaint. I really liked the Lady of the Light song. The Poet and the Muse, and how it kind of like, oh, so that's what I need to do. Like, it really told the whole story of the game in a song, which I've never seen. And a good original song in the middle of the game that tells you the plot of the game, I thought was crazy. But I really like that.
What'd you think of the combat?
It was all right.
I liked it. I thought it was just the right amount of complexity and... the way that you had to manage the different enemies by shining light on them in different ways because you're going to get mobbed.
Right, the flares and all the other stuff.
And when they start throwing in the poltergeist stuff as well, when all the barrels and everything are flying at you, I thought that stuff was pretty intense, actually.
That was hard. When you have to cross the bridge and all the stuff is flying at you, I got knocked off the bridge a lot.
Yeah. But,
I possessed stuff hit me. Yeah, that bridge scene was the worst in episode 6.
That was
6.
The only part where I started to get a little frustrated in the game.
There was also a part of the game for me where I had one bullet left. It was when I first met the Lady of the Light in her like hideout, the main power plant, and I had to go and turn off one of the generator. I had one bullet. That was it.
Wow, I never had a problem with that.
I didn't either.
And I had to get from the generator... And it's where you have to do that puzzle where you have to turn the three bridges to
be able
to...
Yeah, I remember,
Right.
Yeah, I had one bullet, and I had to go back and forth and do that with one bullet. And that actually was really cool. I kind of liked that because obviously I did it, and I did it in one shot, but it was still like, when that was over, I was sweating.
Yeah, that's a bad situation.
Yeah, I'm like, this is crazy, because but the tornado, I took out the tornado in 3 shots.
Right.
So
I had a hard time with the tornado because I was standing too far away and I kept shooting all these flares into it and it wasn't doing anything because I was standing too far. I didn't realize I was supposed to get closer.
Yeah, you got to get right up in that shit.
Yeah.
And I shot.
I mean, I love the way that the whole episodic structure of it and like, you might be onto something that they might have been a little bit too long, some of them. But when it you know, when it ends on a cliffhanger and the Alan Wake logo comes up and some song comes on, licensed song comes on. I mean, after, when I finished episode one, and that, because I didn't know that it was going to end like that.
Me neither.
It was going to do that. And I purposely never mentioned that on the CADcast because I wanted people to be surprised like I was. And I was just like, I was like grinning like a jerk off. I was just like, I was like, wow, they really onto something here. They've done something in a game that I don't really recall having.
The problem was is that they never topped it from episode one. There was never an episode ending that was better than that.
What about the one with, how did the first one end? I don't remember.
The first one ends? The first one ends with, you talk to the sheriff, and the sheriff's like, I'm going to take you, he's like, I got to get back to the cabin.
Oh, right. And there's nothing there.
And then In Dreams plays by Roy Orbison, and it's fucking awesome.
Right, that was the best. Yeah, because the song is awesome.
The song fits. You had no idea that the cabin was an illusion. So right. It was the best.
You're right.
You're as surprised as he is, and they couldn't top it. The rest of the game was literally a letdown from that one moment. So
I don't know if I'd say it was a letdown.
It wasn't.
They didn't top it, though.
They didn't top it.
The song was the best song. They used the best song first, probably. And
yeah.
I mean, I thought it was cool, like when they were when they show Rose and she's calling you on the phone, and that it ends that way. But yeah, you're right. That was definitely the best ending. Hey, speaking of the ending, what'd you think of the ending of the game?
It's an ocean.
It's not a lake. It's an ocean.
Yes. I don't quite understand what they're saying there, but other than that, Alan Wake's story isn't done.
I have a theory.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my "It's not a lake, it's an ocean" theory?
Sure.
I would like to.
Okay, so, you know, the whole point of the Dark Presence, you know, basically taking these writers and sort of possessing them and getting them to write stories is to increase the Dark Presence power. And, so the Dark Presence influences the writers to make them more powerful. And by saying it's not a lake, it's an ocean, you know, like the Dark Presence seems to come from the lake because there was that mining disaster in the lake or something.
There was a volcano.
Right. Then it like collapsed a mine or something.
Yeah,
so,
it collapsed the mine and the island and everything.
So the Dark Presence now, instead of having the Dark Presence just limited to this lake, he's making Alan rewrite the story saying, it's not a lake, it's an ocean. So now the reach of the Dark Presence would be bigger.
I see. I think he just discovered that the Dark Presence isn't just in this lake. That already stretches further, and he's learning that now.
So. I mean, when you watched the ending video and the whole ending, the whole part that led up to the ending, the whole trippy sequence with all the words,
that was pretty sweet.
That was kind of cool.
It was cool. I thought the ending was great, and like I mentioned, I think before, they give you just enough information that you're satisfied, but they leave you wanting more.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much ambiguity to a whole lot of this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it never fully explains what is going on. You just know that bad stuff is happening, and you just have the vague details of it.
All I will say is if I ever see anyone wearing a t-shirt, a button-down shirt, a flannel shirt, a hooded sweatshirt, and a sports coat over it, they're getting kicked in the nuts. Because no one should wear that, ever.
That's what Jay Allard wore at E3.
Yeah, I know.
Well, they packed light. They were going on vacation. He didn't want to pay the fare to pack a whole suitcase.
They drove.
So he just took a carry-on.
They drove.
Well, that was from the airport.
No, that was their car. You don't know. I don't think
that was a rental call. It's a rental.
No one rents an
SUV.
So
he just was wearing a week's worth of clothes on the plane to save a few bucks.
I don't know. I saw his New York City apartment. He doesn't look like he needs to save a few bucks.
Yeah, he had a nice
Did you
apartment.
Notice that in the flashback he was wearing the same exact clothes?
I mean,
like,
really, the guy did not change his clothes, his outfit, in 3 years.
Yeah,
you know, artists are very
But
eccentric.
Later on, he did have a different outfit on in a different flashback or scenario. So I don't know why that happened. That was weird.
His wife has a nice pooper.
His wife has a Joker smile, though.
Right. Glad you're dead.
Exactly. This town needs an enema.
I've actually gone back and I played the first episode again because I got the collector's edition, which has video commentaries that pop up while you're playing. And so those are pretty neat. But what was cool was going back and really seeing all the groundwork that you don't really realize is going on the first time through. And this is just like a really well thought out game. I mean, the first time you go into that diner, you meet so many people. You meet the Lady of the Light.
You meet the old gods of Asgard.
Yeah, the gods of Asgard. You meet the park ranger. You meet Rose. You meet the the lady in the funeral outfit.
Yeah.
Jasper? I don't remember what her name is.
I forgot.
Jagger.
But you meet like...
Jagger.
Yeah.
The bad guy.
You meet just about... yeah, the bad woman. You meet just about everybody in the game just in that one scene at the beginning of the game. And the things that they talk about like come into play later. The old gods of Asgard actually call you Thomas because they think you're Thomas Zane.
Oh, wow. I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff that you wouldn't pick up on because you don't have any frame of reference for it the first time coming around.
The game feels like they put a lot of thought into that first episode. But towards
5 years.
Exactly.
That last episode was awesome, though.
The last
with all the stuff flying down.
It was good and it was bad at the same time. The end of the last episode was great. Having played it last night, it's very fresh in my mind. But it's really long, and a lot of it is getting to that point.
The sixth episode
is a lot of driving.
It's a lot of driving, but it's because you're going back through it, like. It shows you how everything's connected in Bright Falls because you're driving back through all these environments that you've been getting through the whole game.
But it's tedious and it's boring and I didn't like it.
I didn't find it boring. I didn't like the driving all that much.
I didn't like the 25 minutes I spent driving from we got to get to Cauldron Lake to driving to, yes, when you get to that point and you got to get to the generators that are turned off and you got to start them. That's when that episode started to get really good because that was, kind of tense. You got, okay, but I'm going to drop a flare and I'm going to start the generator and I'm going to turn on the light and I'm going to hit a checkpoint and then I got to run to the next one and do that and I got to not get hit by the boat that's falling out of the sky. And that was really cool. But before it was 25 minutes of driving. Oh,
is it
look.
Really 25 minutes? Is he exaggerating?
No, I'm not.
There's a lot of driving, but there's a lot of driving and then getting out of the car and doing something.
Yeah.
And then getting back into a different car.
Yeah, it's driving. The bridge is blocked. You get out of the car. You kill three guys, get to the other side of the bridge, hop in another car. And then it's all right. It's just, it wasn't exciting. It felt like, okay, I've done this about a billion times and I really don't want to drive anymore. When am I at the point where I'm getting close to Cauldron Lake?
Maybe like a cutscene with him driving
would have been better.
No,
yeah.
I don't know about like, that. I kind of liked that it was a little bit drawn out to get to the ending. Like I don't think it would have been as satisfying if it was just like I walked a couple steps, killed some people, got a cutscene, and then I was all of a sudden at Cauldron Lake.
Well, now you're. It's. I think they could have. One of the levels that I really liked and something that I thought they did really well was when you're running across the dam. And stuff is falling, and you're running around the stuff to get to the end of the dam. And they did a little bit of that at the end of episode 6. Not a ton, but like a little bit. I would have liked to have seen...
Well, they do some of that in episode 1 as well.
Yeah, episode 1 is also that too. I would have liked to have seen more of that in episode 6 when you're running to get to Cauldron Lake, where it's less woods, more area where there's things falling and you're running around it.
What did you think about the part where the episode that took place in the help facility?
Dr. Hartman.
That was good because it was someplace new. It was different.
But what do you think his role is?
It made you kind of like think, okay, is he just crazy?
No, you knew right away he wasn't just crazy.
But let me ask you then, what's Dr. Hartman's role in all
this? Dr. Hartman was taking a cut from his patients. From their artwork.
So he just wanted
the guy to write. Yeah, he was profiting from his patient's art. That's why he kept stealing the paintings. And he had the musicians there.
I wonder if there's something more to him too, though. Like, if he's somehow connected to the.
He's got to be. Why would he make up the story of that, saying that his wife died? And I don't know. Well, there's something.
If you were a sane person and you didn't know anything better, you only knew that his wife fell in the lake, you would think she was dead too. It's not a secret that his wife fell in the lake. That's not a secret. It's not like nobody knows.
Right. Right. All right. I mean, yeah, it was pretty cool. What did you think of, and at the end you also see, so it's not a lake, it's an ocean, and Alan wake up. So you don't know. I mean, that could be anything. But you also see Rose holding the flash, holding the lantern from the Lady of the Lake, and you see the FBI agent.
Yeah. Yeah. In the window.
You see everybody who was dead is now alive at the parade.
Dead? No. No dead people.
You do.
Who?
You see that guy, the guy who you kill at the gas station? Stucky? Yeah, he's there at the end.
Are you sure?
Yeah, he's in the parade.
I'll have to go back and watch that. Does the normal version of the game, does it let you watch all the cinematics?
Yes. And it lets you listen to all the music.
Okay.
And read the manuscripts.
Watch that again. The limited edition also comes with a book that kind of compiles like a bunch of things, like kind of like by a conspiracy writer. And he is actually in the game as well. He's the guy in Alan's dream at the beginning of the game that says, "Hey, over here," like across the bridge. And then you go into the building, and then the door slams, and you see him get killed.
Oh, I don't remember.
That's the only part in the game I think this guy is in. But he is the one that they chose to write this book cataloging the events. So I'm wondering if he is going to show back up somewhere as well.
Well, because you do play as a different character in the first DLC. And that I think it's supposed to be a reporter, so it could be that guy.
Okay.
Did you see the? Did you watch the live action shorts?
Oh, the Nightfalls or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah.
Brightfalls.
Nightfalls.
Nightfalls.
Yeah.
Nightfalls. It's called
Nightfalls. Oh. Yeah.
Or Night Springs. Night Springs.
Night Springs. Yeah.
Night Springs.
Night Springs. It's a play on Brightfalls.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's funny.
It was pretty cool.
I mean, some episodes are better than others. I liked the one with the college professor with the gun who shoots himself in the head.
The college professor with the gun?
Yeah, because I invented this machine.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I remember that one now.
That was the best one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Wait, what was that?
He shoots himself. He says he made this machine that every time he pulls the gun trigger,
It kills a different version of himself in a different dimension.
Yeah.
Wait, that was in the mental hospital?
No, that was...
No, this is...
Like episode two, maybe.
This is a... Yeah.
I don't remember.
That was a good one.
Anyway, I just got to say, I think we spent enough time talking about it.
We didn't even talk about the manuscripts, though.
Oh, okay. Talk about them.
Well, what did you guys... Like, did you like that it did foreshadowing on
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, I like that it gave me the option... You know, you pick up the manuscripts that you find, and if you want, you can read them, and it may or may not foreshadow something that's going to happen. And it was entirely up to you if you read it or not, and I like that.
I liked it. It let me know when I was getting close to the end of an episode.
I just liked it because if you were actually Alan Wake, you would definitely be reading those things to find out, oh, crap, there's a guy with a chainsaw coming up.
You know, it was funny because I read that exact same one. I read the chainsaw one. I'm like, oh, chainsaw guy?
So, yeah, and then the bulldozer one, there's also a manuscript page like that, and you're like, oh crap, there's going to be a bulldozer coming up, and it still ran me over.
Yep. right. I mean, yeah, they did a lot of things really right in this game. I think right now it's probably my favorite game of the year. Mass Effect 2 is, you know, it's between Mass Effect 2 and Alan Wake, I gotta say.
Yeah, I would say I'm gonna say Mass Effect 2 is better, but yeah.
Well, better is subjective, certainly, but you liked it more.
I enjoyed it more, yes.
You enjoyed it more.
Yeah, these are my favorite two games of the year, too. I'm still leaning towards Mass Effect 2, but I don't know. I got to dig back into some more Alan Wake, because I like finding the little plot points that I missed the first time around.
Right. All right. So I think that's it, right? Anything else you want to bring up? Any? No? Good?
I think we're good.
All right.
I think we're good.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. And I guess one more show before E3 and or not. We'll see. Maybe. Anyway, thanks for listening and see you next time.
A candy-colored clown they call the Sandman tiptoes to my room every night just to sprinkle stardust and to whisper, go to sleep, everything is all right. I close my eyes, then I drift away. In dreams.